Bibles, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Some people think I'm cold and harsh. I'm really very tender and sweet. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll begin reading at verse 15. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of an harlot? God forbid. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that you'd give us freedom, ease, wisdom, Lord, the help the Holy Spirit of God gives. We pray, Lord, that you'd bless marriages here today. And Lord, you'd take your word and use it to touch every person here, meet the need of every heart and life. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been looking at this series of studies at the family. We looked at the children and went through about 6 weeks on children and raising children. And gone through a month on husbands and wives. And we're going to deal with sex and marriage today. Now, some of you, if you're real squeamish about sex, you got a real problem, you don't even have a television and you don't read the word or pronounce the word out loud, well, I won't be mad at you. You're welcome to get up and leave because I'm going to pronounce it out loud. You understand? I don't think it's a dirty word myself. I don't think it's a nasty word. I think it's godly. I think it's of God. I think God meant it to be. And God wrote a whole lot about it in his book. And if you read the book and read all the book, you're going to read about sex. Good sex and bad sex. Moral sex and immoral sex. You're going to read it all. So what we're going to deal with is that today. We've looked at a husband's responsibility to his wife. We've seen his headship. We've seen his love. We've seen him caring for her as he cares for his own body. We've seen him giving himself for her and to her. We looked at a wife's responsibility to her husband, and we've seen that she's to be submissive and obedient. She's to love him. She's to care for him and to reverence him. And over and over again, we find the word submission. It's not a word that's liked very much in our generation, but it's a word that fits the Bible real well, and it fitted most of history up until about the last 100 years, maybe. At any rate, there are some real problems in the day in which we live, and the problems are in the marriage. And I've been doing this a long time, and I've talked to a lot of people with troubles in their marriages. And an awful lot of the problems in the marriage aren't really about the finances, and they're not really about who bought the couch or what color you painted the living room or whether or not you buy the new house or not. Many of the problems, maybe most of the problems I've had to deal with at least, are about sex. A lot of problems about sex. Misunderstandings about sex, and just most of it's just plain old stubborn self-will. Plain old stubborn self-will. A refusal to meet your partner's needs. We're going to talk about that today. Now, first of all, what we looked at here at chapter 6 is about sexual sin. Your bodies are the members of Christ. Shall I then take a body that's a member of Christ and join it to a harlot? Well, how am I joining it to a harlot? Well, in sexual intercourse, he says, for two said he shall be one flesh. Don't you know that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? Now, he makes a very simple statement. Flee fornication. In our generation, almost every book that's written, almost every movie that's out there glorifies fornication. All the young people's movies. Go down and look at the young people's movies. You know, such and such a high school, such and such. All it is glorifying fornication. From what I read and understand, there's a lot of peer pressure on girls in college especially. Come on down to high school and they tell me it's rotten junior high school. And like I told you here a while back, I know one junior high school has six graders pregnant. Sixth graders. We're talking about 11, 12, 13-year-olds. Now, this is a common occurrence in our generation. Somebody said 20 or 30 years ago, what we need to do is educate the people on sex and we'll solve all of our problems. It looks to me like we've added to the problems, not solved them. You say, well, now they know more about it. Yeah, they do know more about it. That doesn't mean they prevent anything. Look at the number of abortions. I think there's 1.5 million legal abortions in the United States each year. That didn't stop all the illegal ones. Lots of problems out there. The Bible discusses sex very freely. Understand me, he says, flee fornication. Run from it. You say, well, I'm never scared of anything. Well, then you're just plain dumb. There's some things you ought to be scared of. I mean, if there was about a 5-foot diamondback sitting right on that chair right there and he's looking at me rattling his tail, I'm going to be scared. I'm not going to say, ha-ha, your bite won't hurt. Because some of them, people die from them. Now, the truth is, most people don't die from a snake bite. They get to the hospital fast enough, or the snake just hit an animal somewhere down the line, doesn't have enough venom in him or something. Most people don't die from snake bites. Probably about 1 out of 8, maybe, something like that. About as bad as those social drinkers that become alcoholics. About 1 out of 8. Yeah, but you invite all the liquor in, and you say, come on, you won't bite, you won't bite, you won't bite. You wouldn't do that to a rattlesnake. Copperhead, cottonmouth. I had a gun in my hand one time. I was down on the river, Lampasas River, and my dad's place, and I was shooting turtles, rabbits, and whatever. And I'm looking out in that water for that turtle. I'm so intense, and I keep hearing this. It didn't dawn on me. I mean, this thing's big around as my arm. He's sitting there looking at a big old cottonmouth. Did I shoot him? Not on your life. I let him have the whole gun. I threw that gun in that snake's face so fast and took off. I thought maybe he would have swallowed it and hauled it off, but he didn't. When I went back, when I got my heart back down to normal and went back over there and picked it up, my gun was still there. It was still loaded. He didn't take my shells, nothing. You know, he went his way. Not everybody gets snake bit. Not everybody becomes an alcoholic. Not everybody catches gonorrhea, syphilis, or AIDS. We're out playing golf with a couple of sweet brothers the other day, and you know, the mosquitoes are just eating us alive, and one of them had the audacity to tell us, you know, you get AIDS from mosquito. I mean, that's what brothers are for, right? You know? Man, I started killing mosquitoes. Looking for some spray or something. What are we going to do? Listen, this is a horrible old world you're living in. There's lots of things out there to be scared of. One of them's fornication. You know what God's will is? God's will is one man by one woman for life. That's what it is. One man for one woman for life. You don't have to worry about all this garbage. There may be some rare exceptions, maybe a mosquito bite somewhere along the line, but the honest truth is, you stay faithful to the mate God gives you, and you're not going to have some of the problems they got out there. But you mess around with fornication, man, you sin it against your own body. AIDS in the news, it's all over, they're talking about it, how it's spread in Africa, how it's some of the other, I think Haiti and some other places like that, it's spread in the United States very quickly, and going all across. Why? Fornication. Sexual sin. According to what I read, we have an epidemic of gonorrhea among American women. Epidemic. What the doctors say. Epidemic. Hadn't stopped much, has it? I don't think age is going to stop it. The judgment of God. You know what these things are? That's sin. Natural consequences. The judgment of God falling down on your sin. You better be afraid of some things. If I could make you afraid, I would make you afraid. If I knew how to talk you some sense into your head, I'd do my best to do it. You better do like Joseph. Leave your coat and run. If you got to pay for it for 13 years in prison, leave your coat and run. And you girls, you wonder how not to get pregnant? Say no. Simple problem. Just say no. And after you said no a few times, they'll get the answer. Say, well, what if they don't want to date me? Stay single. Tell them to hit the road, because boys are liars. I tell you, girls, boys are liars. They are big, bad, dirty, ugly liars. They're going to tell you they love you, and what they mean by love you is they want you. They don't mean they love you. They don't want the best for you. They want what they want that night, that day. That's all they want, and they keep looking for somebody who'll tell them no. You can catch that in this generation, I know, but that's true. That's true. You know, you're messing with your own body. You're messing with your wife's body. You're messing with your children's body. You're not just having pleasure for one afternoon, one night. You're messing with your future, physically and mentally. You're messing with the eyesight of your children. You're messing with the health of your children. And you might have years to repent at leisure because of your sin. You say, well, I got away with it. Well, you were lucky. You had mercy by the grace of God. That don't mean you'll win tomorrow. Just because that God had mercy on you last time doesn't mean he's going to have mercy on you next time. Now, what you best do is pay attention. Now, I want to say something. I've read this Bible lots of times, cover to cover. I read a lot about sexual sins. You know, the Bible lists them. Lists numbers of sins. He's talking about your body. He's talking about harlots. He talks about glorifying God in your body. I don't ever remember reading in this book, and this book lists all kinds of sins. I don't ever remember reading any place in this book that sex and marriage is a sin. It's not dirty. It's not nasty. It's not ugly.
In fact, it's pure. The Bible speaks of the marriage bed being undefiled. How do you defile a marriage bed? Put a third partner in it. A man and his wife in the marriage bed is not sin. The minute either one takes another partner, the minute either one is unfaithful, whether it's with consent or without consent, you're talking sin. Over and over and over again through this book, it talks about sin. It talks about sin of adultery, sin of fornication, sin of rape. But all the marriages listed in here, out of all the incidents listed, out of all the sins listed, out of all the judgments listed in here, there's not a single time where a husband and a wife has sinned before God that it's listed in here that I know of. If it is, you show it to me. If not, then let me ask you, what ought your attitude to be? What ought your attitude to be? Well, you might ought to have a little different attitude toward sex. You might ought to have a little different attitude toward even the drives in your own body. You ought to have a different attitude towards your wife. Now, there's nothing dirty, wrong, nasty, ugly between a husband and wife. But the Bible very definitely lists that you, before you're married with anyone, whether it's a harlot or your girlfriend or boyfriend, it's sin. The Bible lists man with man, homosexuals, sodomites. It's not another lifestyle. It's not an accepted deviation. It's not somebody that we ought to revere and hold up and put on television as a great person. It's sin. In fact, if you listen to Romans chapter 1, God lists it as the lowest down you can get. If you look back in the story of Lot and Sodom and Gomorrah, God hated it so badly He sent fire out of heaven to destroy it. Don't tell me they're Christians and preachers and churches. That's all right. It's not all right. It's sin. Woman with woman is sin. Man with man is sin. Woman or man with animal, bestiality, is sin. It's not just your just peculiar way of having fun. We're talking about sin. We're talking about things God judges a family on. God judges a marriage on. God judges a nation on. God will judge a church on it too. In the day in which we live, sex has always been a prime occupation of man and woman. Sex has always been something that's been of great interest to people. People get in trouble before they ever had television, before they had movies, before they had printing presses, before they had novels. People are getting in trouble with sex. You've got a natural drive within you, male or female, you've got a natural drive within you to want to have a partner, to want to love and be loved. The only problem is, how do you handle it? What do you do with it? How do you use it or abuse it? And almost all sin that I can think of, maybe all sin, but almost all sin I can think of is an abuse of something good. The thing that they're doing, the thing that's being used, may be a good in the proper perspective, in the proper place. But it becomes sin when it's misused. Any other way you have sex besides being married to your partner and having sex with that partner is sin. And you know, the more I read this book, the more I'm sure God judges sin. And the more I read the newspapers and find out they keep coming up with something new. In my lifetime, they keep coming up with new kinds of venereal diseases. They come up with something, well, now penicillin won't touch this one. This is brand X. All of this garbage out here has affected our whole society. It's affected the churches. It's affected the kids. And we're reaping the results of it, but you don't have to. You don't have to. What do you do? Well, you find out what God has to say on it and do something about it. Put it together right in your marriage. Put it together right in your home. Put it together right, and God will bless you for it. God will bless your marriage. God will bless your children. God will bless your church. God will bless you. You may be poor as they come, or rich as they come, or anything in between. Has nothing to do with it. What you do is do God's will to your partner, for your partner, and for yourself, and God will bless you. Now, there are a lot of different ideas in our generation. But get it down straight. God does not approve of the lifestyles we have today just because our generation approves of it. Two women, three women, live together in the same apartment 30 years. One of them stay home cooking clean. Other ones go out and make the living, bring it home. They can be partners in the house. They can be partners in the car. They can be partners in the business. It's not a sin. Until they satisfy each other sexually, there's not a sin. Two men move in, buy a house together, buy a Cadillac together, go to work together, or one of them stays home, does the cooking and the cleaning. He says, that's a little strange. Well, it might be, but until they satisfy each other sexually, it's not sin. But no matter what the lifestyles of the day are, no matter what the television tells you, no matter what Hollywood tells you, no matter what the school teachers tell you, no matter what the preachers tell you, whether it's with consent by adults or whatever, any other kind of sex is sin. Now look at chapter 7. I was a preacher of the gospel, and mainly I was an evangelist. And I preached for years, and every place I looked, and every chapter I looked for a message for salvation. And I found them. I believe I could open the Bible anywhere, in any chapter, and preach salvation from it. I did it for years. But I was having trouble in my own marriage. And I thought, here I am, I'm a preacher of the gospel, and Verlene and I don't, we're just not the way we ought to be. Now, no, hardly anybody else knew that because we didn't fight in public. We didn't fight in front of our kids. But we had some problems. And I began to say, if this book is the Word of God, it ought to have the answers. So I began to look up the message that I've been giving you over these last 5 or 6 weeks. I'm a husband. What's my responsibility? What does the Bible tell me a husband ought to be? And I came up with those 5 or 6 principles. I've got a wife. What is a Bible wife supposed to be like? So I came up with the Bible wife principles. All right? Marriage is about sex, in case you didn't know it. You'll say, I got married because she had a good bank account. Well, that's not really the prime purpose for getting married. You understand? It's nice if she has a nice bank account. That's okay. If she's a rich lady and owns all the land in New Mexico, it's great. I mean, you know, it's a wonderful thing. But most of us aren't that fortunate. Just a lucky few. The Bible says here in chapter 7, now concerning things whereof you wrote unto me, it's good for a man not to touch a woman, nevertheless to avoid fornication. The purpose of marriage is to avoid fornication. I begin to look in the Bible, I say, what is the purpose of marriage and what does sex have to do with it? And is sex dirty, nasty, ugly, sin? What is it? The more I read this book, the more principles I found, no, it's not. It's good. It's right. God meant for it to be. He didn't just mean for you to have babies either. He meant for it to be pleasure. And it is a very great deal of pleasure. As far as you take a look at the world out there today, and what's their pleasure? What are they running after? What's the purpose of marriage? It's to take care of the sex drives of each person so they don't end up in fornication. So they don't end up down at the local harlot's house. So they don't end up with syphilis, gonorrhea, AIDS, or whatever else there may be out there. And there may be some things they haven't discovered yet. Keep messing with it. Something else come up. When you discover a cure for AIDS, a miracle drug, you know, you got to eat so many avocados a day and you're cured of AIDS, or they grind up avocado seeds and put them in your milk and you're cured of AIDS. Oh, they find this great discovery. God will send something else along. You know something? God meant for your marriage to take care of the sexual needs of you and your partner. That's the prime purpose. Now, don't just jump up and run out and marry the first person of the opposite sex because they can handle that problem. Because I know some of you don't believe it, but you don't have sex 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You have to eat together. You have to go places together. Some people have to do some work. I mean, there's a whole lot of the trash has to be carried out ever so often. Somebody's got to take a scoop and dump it out of the back yard, you know, and get it into a trash can. Somebody's got to mow the lawn or nobody will be able to read your address. You won't even find your way out. Somebody's got to make a living or you won't enjoy your sex very long. Am I right? So, the plumbing's about the same on male and female out of the 6 billion people in the world. You understand me? Various little modifications, but it's basically the same over all these people out here in the world. The plumbing's the same. Don't go out and just pick anybody. You make your choices on other ways. Make your choices a Christian for a Christian. Make your choices same race as close as you can get it. Same education as close as you can get it. Same background as close as you can get it. Same everything you can get. You say you prejudiced? Probably. But that's not my basic reason. You're prejudiced too. Anybody here not prejudiced? Let me talk to you for a while. Let's see who's prejudiced. I used to teach a world history class with a bunch of honor students. And I was talking one day and this, I don't know, some statement was made. And I don't remember whether I made it or somebody else made it. And this one kid stood up on the side and said, "That's prejudice." I said, "Are you prejudiced?" He said, "No, not me. I'm not prejudiced, man. Don't have prejudice." About 2 days later, he said, "Have you ever noticed that almost all the hippies are whites?" I said, wait, stop the music. Wait, what did you say? How do you know all the hippies are whites? He hadn't counted them. He named them. I said, "Now, you tell everybody's prejudiced somewhere or other, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about trouble in a marriage. I'm talking about you got two different backgrounds. You got that much more problems to deal with." Amen. I'm talking about anybody being better than anybody else. I'm not talking about one race being superior to another. I'm talking about problems. And bless your heart, that's something I'm experienced in. I've had enough of them myself, and I've sure dealt with an awful lot of them with people. I'm not some new kid on the block, man. I didn't come in on the last load of pumpkins, like somebody said. I've been around a while. I've talked to some people, and they've got some problems. You marry somebody as close to you in religion, as close to you in thinking, and as close to you in how to raise children, as close to you in what kind of wallpaper they like. Believe it or not, people have troubles over picking wallpaper. People have troubles over what to cover a couch with. People have troubles over whether to move to a new house or not, or whether to dig a septic tank. You can have problems in a marriage. So use your head for something besides hand fertilizer. Make a decent choice when it comes to getting married. Don't just get some, oh, she's so beautiful. Can she cook? Will she sweep? Bless your heart, it makes a difference. If you can't cook and won't learn, you're going to go broke at the local restaurants. And that sex is going to be awful expensive. But the main purpose of marriage is to avoid fornication. So what is one of the main things we're supposed to do in a marriage? Take care of ourselves and our partners in that marriage. Let's see if I've been stretching this. Let's just look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say. He said, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife and every woman have her own husband. What's the purpose? One man, one woman, avoid fornication. Number three. Maybe I'm stretching it. Let's see. Let's go another verse. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise the wife unto the husband. You know what benevolence is? Back in the 1800s, they called the church the benevolent empire. The great revivals out of Charles G. Finney and others. They started homes for unwed mothers. They decided to help prison reform. They helped out wayward children. They tried to reform the alcoholics. They had the big temperance societies trying to get people to quit doing it. They went through every area of society trying to reform it. Christians. And they formed what's called the benevolent empire. By benevolence, we take care of somebody's needs. The Salvation Army is a benevolent society. You go down there, they give you something to eat. They take care of your clothes. They might give you a place to sleep for a night or two. They'll help you out. They're benevolent. You know what due is? Got any debts? When are they due? It's what's owed. Boy, you really need a Greek education for this, don't you? You know, you can't understand the Bible without a whole lot of Greek, right? You know what that due means in the Greek? It means due. Just want you to understand. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, likewise also the wife unto the husband due benevolence. Take care of his needs that you owe to him. Take care of her needs that you owe to her. You give her the things she needs. You give him the things he needs. And he's not talking about food. He's talking about sex. Maybe I'm stretching it. Let's go another verse. I wouldn't want you to think I'm trying to shove something down your throat. I'm just a Bible reader, brother. Just a Bible reader, Bible interpreter. But I'm just a Bible reader. You read the Bible with me. See what it says to you. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. Likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Before you're married, you have power of your own body. Before you're married, you're supposed to say no. Male or female. Don't care whether they laugh at you. I don't care if they make fun of you. I don't care if they kick you out of their society. I don't care if they don't want to date you the next time. You're supposed to say no. You're safe to say no. You're wise to say no. You are scriptural to say no. Now listen to me. The day you take that marriage vow, you lose the rights to your body. You can sign them by your signature to another. You understand that? That's what that verse says. You don't have the power over your own body. And these 50-50 marriages in our generation where we share and share alike and everybody does whatever they want to do all the time, they're not scriptural. They're not scriptural. Maybe a contractual marriage might be scriptural. Make some contracts and write it out. I don't know about that, but let me tell you something, friend. The day you got married, little lady, you lost the right to say no.
I know you're so busy, you're running two jobs, you're trying to make ends meet, but you're coming home and the little lady wants some loving, and you're too tired and you're too busy and you got to watch TV or you got to head somewhere spiritual. You're going to go down and preach. You don't have the right. You don't have the right to say no. Now, that causes a problem. You understand? There are problems in life. My wife and I have a problem just when it comes to the air conditioning. Do you see me? I can sit in 70-degree weather and sweat. I've got to start thinking. It takes so much effort for my brain to move that the minute I start thinking, that just sweat comes out all over my body. Now, some of you perspire. I sweat. I can leave. While I'm working with you, I can just leave a trail across the ceiling all the way down. You can just follow me wherever I've been. Everybody knows what I've done.
I like things loud. She likes them quiet. I like to have the shades up by half the time. Look it out. She couldn't pull those shades down, you know. I fold the toothpaste at the very back. I keep it nice and neat. And she walks in and goes, those are problems. Now, if you think you're going to marry somebody, you're laughing because you know a little bit what I'm talking about, don't you? I walk in, and one boot comes off right at the door, and the other one gets off right at the door, and the sock comes off here, the sock comes off there, and she thinks I'm just doing it on purpose. Just so she'll have something to do. Well, it really is. She doesn't have anything to do. I thought maybe I'd give her something, a little effort, and keep her life interesting. You know what I'm talking about. How in the world did you expect to marry somebody who has the same sexual drives you have? Yeah, you're cotton-picking mind. You are out of your cotton-picking mind. Do you know anybody that married somebody that they're so close together and they don't have disagreement on anything? I don't know anybody like that. You met any marriages like that? I met anyone like that. Somebody says, we got divorced for incompatibility. That's the dumbest reason I ever heard. You think you're going to marry somebody you're compatible with next time? You're not.
That's right.
So you better learn to live with somebody you're incompatible with. Amen. You better learn to make it with somebody not like you, because you're not going to find anybody else like you. Out of 6 billion out there, you ain't going to find anybody else like you. They may like the same music you like. That'll be the only place of agreement you get. A wife hath not power of her own body. What does that say? It's not a matter whether you want to. It's not your body. When I walk out and get ready to put my keys in that 84 Chevrolet out there, and Mara says, no, you can't drive it, we're in for troubles. That's my car. I'm paying that stupid payment for all these years, and I'm the stupid guy making that big payment, okay? I'll drive that car when I want to drive it. Isn't that right? The wife has not power of her own body. Boy, this is a medieval church, isn't it? It's a biblical church, bless your old cotton-picking heart. Get out of your unbelief and get into the book and say, I'll order my life the way God says it, and I'll build a good marriage.
Yeah.
And husband, you don't have a right to say no. I'm too tired. I've been so busy. Don't have it on my mind right now. Literally, I have dealt with people that wanted sex 7 times a day and had a partner that wanted it once a month. Now, that's stretching it a bit, I admit. But I have found both those cases. That's the honest truth. Now, somebody's going to have to do some giving, don't you think? Somebody's going to have to go through sex like you go through washing dishes. Oh, boy, am I unglorifying love for you? And I'm making it sound like love just really isn't love anymore. It's just some drudgery. I had a woman tell me, said, I feel like I'm a washing machine, just something to be used. I said, praise God, you're useful. Now, a lot of people aren't even useful. Praise God, there's a use for you. I mean, what are we talking about? Is this real hard to do? I got kids that literally cannot spell their name, but they can do sex. You understand what I'm talking about? I got kids that flunk in 7 subjects. They can pass sex. Like what Bill Cosby said about having these natural childbirths. You got to go to classes and have natural childbirth. They've been doing it for 6,000 years. Natural childbirth? I mean, big deal. You got to go to classes for natural childbirth. What are they going to teach us? How did we get here? Did mama have courses? Did grandma have courses? No, it just works. Now, the husband hath not power of his body. The wife hath not power of her body. You heard the old story about him going to bed, and she says, not tonight, I've got a headache. And he said, it's not your head I want, honey. Now, you listen to me. Listen to me. I'm talking about some down-to-earth, practical, good, common-sense marriage. Is that all right? Well, you talk about it. Oh, that's tough. Just read the Bible. It'll tell you exactly the same way. You don't have a right to say no once you get married. You might say please, but you don't have the right to say, well, I'll just do it whenever I please. You know what that'll cost you? It might cost you marriage. It might cost you an adulterous partner. It might cost you somebody that you don't know what temptation they may be going through. And by the way, when you come home, don't tell your wife, I was really tempted by this gorgeous gal at work, and therefore I want you. Don't tell her that. Just make love to her. Tell her she's the greatest thing in the world, most beautiful thing in the world. She'll be happy. You'll be happy. Everybody be happy. Don't be so stupid as to open your mouth all the time. Some of you keep your mouth open and keep yourself in trouble all the time. But that's exactly what marriage is for. It's a natural thing for a man or a woman to be attracted to the opposite sex. That's natural. That's not sin. That's natural. Some of you put yourself through all sorts of guilt problems on attraction or temptation. Temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Attraction is not sin. It is natural. God put that in you. Devil didn't put that in you. Adam and Eve had attraction to each other, bless your heart, before there's anybody else in the world.
Before there was sin in the world, God made a woman to suit the man. Before there was sin in the world. That is not sin. Now, if I go ahead and follow it out without taking care of it the way I ought to take care of it, then it's sin.
Yes, amen.
Take care of your partner. Take care of your partner. Build your marriage. And instead of the partner running around frustrated because I'm not loved, and the local mailman or the secretary at work or whoever, there are predators out there. Did you understand? There are predators out there. Their greatest joy is a conquest. It builds their ego to drop another one. It makes them big to think, I am so attractive. I saw this girl walking down yesterday. So help me. She had on a thin t-shirt, nothing on under it. Had that thing tied down, cut off and tied down all the way up to here like this. And she had on some shorts that, so help me, she cut the whole leg out of the thing. I mean, she's walking with the cheeks flopping. I mean, not just everything else. And I said, what in the world is that girl doing? She's advertising. She's looking for somebody to whistle. She's looking for somebody to stop. She's looking for an invitation to get in the car. She's looking for an invitation somewhere. She's there. Oh, well, she just likes to be free. Get off my back. I wasn't born yesterday. I'm an old man. I've seen a whole lot in my day. That girl was hunting. She's a predator. There are men out there. I don't care if they've been married 14 times. There are men out there still looking for another one. There are men out there got a lovely little wife at home and two or three little kids at home, and all they can think about is the next one down the road. Who can I conquer next? If you don't take care of your partner sexually, you leave them prey to predators. You don't have to be the most beautiful woman in the world or the sexiest man. And by the way, Burt Reynolds wears a toupee. Just want you to know. He's bald as a billiard. Some of the other guys are too. They may look great till they take their teeth out, you know. Put them in the water beside the bed, you know. Put off the girdle, you know. You know the most important thing about a husband and a wife? Not their beauty. Not their particular plumbing. Their cooperation, their attitude. Makes all the difference in the world. It builds a marriage or it destroys one. It helps somebody out or hurts them. You don't have a right to say no, either one of you. Well, what are you going to do when you've got these incompatible marriages when it comes to sex as well as everything else? Well, what you do is the one with the greatest need should be satisfied as much as possible, male or female. And the other one, cooperate and help them out. If you don't understand how to do that, talk to me. I'll be glad to let you know. It's easy. It's simple. It's not a big deal. And it's not sin. But you need to work with your partner. You need to keep your partner happy. You need to be walking around contented. Oh, you say you're stretching it, Brother Kincaid. You always push things. Take next verse. Come on, one more verse. Let's see if I'm talking out of my hat. Defraud. Do you know what defraud means in the Greek? It means to defraud somebody. It means to cheat them. Just wanted you to know. They translated that right. Defraud you not one or the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourselves to fasting and prayer and come together again. Isn't that interesting verses? Those are interesting verses. Man, did you see what that said? This is God talking. This is the Word of God. Defraud. Well, you know you defraud somebody. Well, let's say I'm working for Ken back there and I'm the bookkeeper and I'm never absent. I've never missed a day. 15 years, I've never missed a day. Most faithful employee there. And one day I'm in a car wreck and he brings in some temporary. My wife goes over and she writes down. I said, wait a minute, these books aren't right. Something's wrong in these books. Well, they can't be. And then they bring an investigation in. And I have ripped him off for $250,000 in 15 years. The reason why I wasn't ever absent was because I knew the day I was absent, somebody catch it. But I take care of the books and I figure the books. That's defrauding. When I take something that belongs to another, I steal something that belongs to another, cheat somebody out of what belongs to them. That is defrauding them. Now, he's talking about sex. Did you understand that? He's talking about sex. The verse before, he said, you don't have power over your own body. It belongs to your partner. Then he said, defraud you not one the other. He's not talking about money. He's not talking about the use of the car. He's not talking about who does the dishes. He's talking about sex. He said, except it be with consent. You don't come over and take my car without asking me for it. Mike's my son-in-law. He wants to borrow the trailer. He doesn't come in and just take the trailer. I really don't mind him taking it, but he doesn't come in and just take it. He says, hey, Dad, can I borrow the trailer? Why? It's in my name. You understand? I paid the taxes on it, and it went from 530 to 35. If you got a trailer, you know what I'm talking about. Boy, they put the taxes up on those things. That would be defrauding. It's with consent. Who? The consent of one or the other. Who's given the consent not to do it, but to allow you not to do it? It's not a matter of I consent. It's a matter of I consent that you don't have to satisfy me this week or whatever. And notice what was the purpose. It wasn't to go play golf, my brother. You fast and pray a lot? Well, I got some real spiritual people in here. You know, I've been a full-time preacher about 15 years out of my life. And, you know, I found I ran out of praying and fasting. You know, I could pray for all of you several times a day and still play golf. I read the book so many times. You know, I'm just not going to spend 12 hours in that book. I'm not spiritual enough to spend those 12 hours on my knees. Maybe you are. I think you ought to do it if you are. But you know what I know? I don't fast and pray that much. And you know what I know? You don't either. And that was the excuse. Okay, if you want to go fast and pray a little bit, you don't have to take care of me. I can handle it till you get back. Did you notice what the Holy Spirit said after that? Come together again. What was that? What did the Holy Spirit say? Shun sex. No, no, no. He said, come together again. And then come together again. Why? You have an adversary. Yeah. He dropped David with sex. He dropped Samson with sex. He dropped a lot of them with sex. Bless your heart, he's been dropping them around the town and around the nation with sex. This thing on TV just happened to be a bigger thing than normal, but it happens every year. Some dumb preacher gets messed up with some dumb secretary. Nothing new. It wasn't new in David's day. It's not new today. Come together again, that Satan tempt you not. Hey, there's a word. Incontinency. Woo! What does that mean? Your lack of self-control. We know how well you control yourself, don't we? Now, I realize I was speaking to a congregation of people that have such great self-control. They never have a problem with sin. They don't have a problem with drinking. They don't have a problem with cussing. Never lose their temper and say a cuss word. I mean, never spill the tea in the car. I mean, you know. Never get mad at the wife or the husband. This is the best bunch of people I ever saw in my life. I mean, I really, you guys are unusual. Listen to me. If you don't know you are weak, if you don't know that by the grace of God you'd be dropped almost every day of your life, you haven't got a brain in your head, you need to go someplace and get a transplant. Lack of self-control. So what do? You take care of your partner. You take care of your partner. I got about 3 minutes. I'm going to say just a few things. I want to be sure of saying. Sex is not a club to be used when you're mad. Don't you go lock the door. Don't you walk off and leave when you're mad because somebody else might be mad, and that might be just the time marriage gets messed up. Sex is not a club to be used when you're mad. Sex is not a diet to be rationed. You're not going to wear it out by using it. That's the truth. It doesn't diminish with use. That's the truth. It's not a diet. You can't get too much and get fat, although sometimes it'll make you fat. But you can't get too much and get fat. It's not a diet. Sex is not a business to be scheduled. It doesn't have to be after 10 o'clock a night on Tuesday nights. You understand? It's not a business schedule. Sex is God intended. Sex is pure. Sex is righteous. Sex is undefiled. Sex is pleasure. And God meant for it to be a pleasure. God meant for you to enjoy it. God meant for it to be a bond to draw you back together. And just cause you're mad, sometimes having sex will bring you back together. You get over your mad spell. Sex in marriage is practical, it's pleasure, it's love, and the Bible, sex, leaves the one with the greatest desire always satisfied. If you don't believe I'm right, prove me wrong with the book I use. You take your King James Version, and you think I've preached anything wrong to you, you show it to me in the book. I'll publicly apologize if you can prove I'm wrong on the principles I put out on sex. They blessed my marriage. I've seen a few marriages they really blessed. I believe it'll bless yours. He said, well, if I can't do everything perfect, well, you're going to go home. Now, I know some of you men go home, open this book up and say, all right, now, wife, look at her. I got you now. Black and white. God's on my side. Well, you better work with her a little while and give her a little time. Some of you wives might say, okay, turkey. Won't you come across now? Well, how about working with each other? How about taking the principles and work with each other? And when we fail, and I promise you, you're going to fail. When I marry people, Clay, you know what I always tell them? I'm marrying you for better or for worse, and I guarantee it's going to get worse. It's a lead pipe cinch. It will get worse. After you've done everything you can do, you're still going to fail. You're going to fail your partner on a given day. Well, try to control your temper a little bit and work it out and realize there's no such thing as a perfect wife. And the only perfect husband I've ever seen is me. We'll take up something else later.